there, Molly Christensen here with the Building Heroes in Your Home podcast, where we talk about building heroes in your home and in my home. We figure out best ways to do that. And this is episode number 5. So we've been talking about the hero's journey and been kind of going through the different steps a little more in depth than I did in the first podcast. So we've already covered calls to action and refusals a bit. So today I'm going to talk about committing to action. Sometimes you do get a mentor first, but I'm going to save that one for later on. So committing to action, because you don't always have a mentor before you commit to action. Often, you know, other people can help you commit to action, but that doesn't always happen right then. Sometimes though. Anyway, so on to committing to action. So what does that really mean? I was pondering that and I was like, you know, you can commit to action, but if you don't actually take any action, then you weren't really committed, were you? So really what this means is you actually are committed enough that you take action. So committed to action is taking action, right? So you've got to act on what you choose to do. You got to do it. Now, some hero journeys are going to be really short. You can hear the call to action and you just have to do the action like one time, right? So then you're done. But other hero journeys are longer. You got to commit to the action enough that you're going to get started, but then you're going to keep on going. That's the hard part too. I guess every step, if you really think about it, is hard, difficult to do because not everybody does it. So you commit to action, but you're also committing to keep on going, and you're going to commit to keep seeing it through until you're done. So what if you cannot do something consistently? I know in my life, I had started and stopped so many things in my life and I gave up and I quit doing it. You know, every New Year's Eve or New Year's week, whatever, I'm like setting new goals and I was committing to action. I would get started, but then a couple weeks later, I would be off the path again because I would quit. I would give up. Now, if that's you, don't worry, because that's super common in humans. I mean, but that's something that we gotta learn how to get over. I've taught a lot of group mentoring classes on how to do this, how to actually make real change in your life, and I'm probably not gonna get into too much detail here about how to do that because it does take a lot of work and effort, but here's a couple of things that I wanna tell you about. So number one is one reason why we quit doing things consistently, even though we've heard a call to action, we got over the refusals, we decided to commit to action, we actually started acting. One reason why we quit is because we start listening to those refusals again in our heads. We get new ones coming up after we start to act. It's because our brain is trying to keep us comfortable, and change is never comfortable. And so if we're trying to change and do something new, it's uncomfortable. And so our brain is going to give us new reasons why not to do things. And a lot of times we listen to those and we give up and we get off that path of the hero's journey. So you have to be extra aware after you start acting too. You've got to pay attention to what's going on in your brain. And I'll tell you one of the big ones is all about how you see yourself. So if you start doing something new, after 2 or 3 weeks, you can talk yourself out of doing it anymore because you're not that kind of person who does that. So you got to watch for that and start telling yourself, well, wait, I am that kind of person because look, I'm doing it. And you have to keep telling yourself that long enough until you do become that kind of person. So sometimes you might think that's kind of a lie, because you're not that kind of person because you haven't been that person. But we need to look forward. Look forward. You are that kind of person because you're doing it and because you can become that kind of person. The other thing I was going to mention here to help keep you on that path of consistency is you got to make sure that you set up your environment for success. Because if it's hard to do, you're not going to do it. So, you know, just like exercising. If it's going to be a big burden, a big change from what you're doing already now, you're not going to do it. But if you make it simple enough, then you'll do it. So, for example, I just wear my workout clothes to bed because then when I get up in the morning, I'm not going to talk myself out of it because I have to go find some workout clothes to put on. I'm just going to wear what I have. I don't even have to change. Yes, sometimes we are really that lazy, you know, but I think it's maybe efficient. So anything you can do to set up your environment for success is going to really help you. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. So after I'd been learning some of these principles about the hero's journey and how I need to really be paying attention to my thoughts and how I could change what I was thinking to something better so that I could change, I decided I was going to test it out. So what I did was I was looking for my next call to action. And a year before, my husband and a couple of my sons ran a half marathon. And while they were running that, I was thinking, I have no idea how anybody could ever do that. That's so long. And it's crazy. I can barely even run a half a block. Well, maybe a half a mile, but barely even that. And I thought, wow, those guys are awesome. Well, about a year later, they decided they wanted to do it again. And I guess it was less than a year later because there was time to train and all that. But for the next year, they wanted to do it again. And they said, well, why don't you do it too? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I am not a runner. I do not run. But then I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, this is a call to action. And it's a pretty good one because it has a deadline. So it's got to get done, right? Deadlines really help people get things done. And I thought, you know, I've been learning about all these things where I can choose my thoughts. What if I really could do this? So I opened up my mind to this possibility that maybe I could actually do it. So I was thinking about it for several days and I was noticing all the refusals. I'm like, are you kidding? You don't have time for that. You have to like run for like 2 hours on Saturdays or for your long run. And you got lots of kids. You're not going to be able to do this. And plus, you can't even hardly run a half mile. What makes you think you can run a half marathon? That's ridiculous. But I thought, you know, if this is really true and I can really change my thoughts and how I'm thinking about me and I can overcome these rationalizations, this would be really cool if I could do it. So I battled with myself back and forth for a week or two. I did some research to find out if other people had actually done it before, like going from like unable to run to running a half a marathon. Could it be done in the time frame that I had? And so I found different stories. I was like, you know, other people have done it. Why can't I? So I decided to do it. I committed to action. And so the next day I started running. And I'll tell you, it was not pretty. Half the time I'm running along and I'm going, what am I doing? This is nuts. There's no way I'm ever going to run a half a marathon because I'm dying here. I am not a runner. And I recognized all these thoughts going through my head. And I realized something. I was like, okay, these are the thoughts that I've chosen to listen to. Can I really change them? So I decided I was going to just practice. So I did. When I heard those thoughts in my head, I started saying, well, right now I'm not a good runner, but I'm going to be. I have that potential in me. I'm getting there. And so I just really just kind of had a battle with myself in my brain. Well, I kept pressing on. And I really wanted to do it just so I could prove I could do it, you know? And I wanted to also do it for my kids because if I could do it, then I could encourage them to do anything that they had for a call to action too. So it was interesting because after I got up to about a mile and a half that I could run that and feel really good about running, I got stuck. I just stopped at a mile and a half. I couldn't run any farther. Or I just didn't. I quit. And I was like, man, what am I doing? And I realized that I had this story in my head from my childhood, because when I was in high school, I'd actually run the mile and a half test, and I had actually, so for PE, I ran this mile and a half test, and when I got done, I passed it, but when I got done, I felt horrible, like I felt like dying, really. And I remember going into my next class, my physics class, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just feeling worse and worse. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And even the teacher finally looks at me and goes, you don't look very good. And I didn't take offense to that at all, because I was like, I don't feel very good. And so they called my mom to come pick me up. But from that experience, I had made this story in my head that if I ran more than a mile and a half, I was probably going to die, or at least feel like it. So once I realized that that's what I was thinking, I thought, well, gosh, I can get to a mile and a half and I feel fine. Why don't I just go a little farther? So I did. Each day, I just, like that first day after I figured that out, I went like, I don't know, maybe 10 feet farther. And I was like, look, you did it. You went farther than a mile and a half and you felt good. So after that, I just kept increasing my length farther and farther, and I figured out what they mean by running long distances is mental. It's, you know, if you can run a mile and a half, you can run a half marathon. So the other thing that I did throughout this whole thing is I kept telling myself, I am a runner. I am a runner. And I also visualized myself actually crossing that finish line. And so then when the day of the half marathon came, I was pretty nervous because I'd never ran 13 miles before. I had gotten up to 10 miles though on one of my long runs. And like other than 10 miles, I might have done like 7 or 8. But, you know, I was like, well, if I can do 10, surely I could do 13. So on the day of the race, I was like, okay, I have trained, I'm prepared, I should be good. And so we ran the race, and I totally did it. I didn't have to stop and walk. I crossed the finish line in just over 2 hours, and it was just like I pictured in my head. And I'll tell you, I was so proud of myself, but I was also like, wow, this stuff works. This stuff works. Because I created the environment for myself for success, and I started focusing on my identity that I was a runner and didn't listen to all those refusals or rationalizations, I was able to do it. And so since then, I've used these techniques in a lot of things in my life, and it's so empowering because you have power over yourself. How about that? It's pretty awesome. Okay, so that's basically what I wanted to talk about today with committing to action. And next time, maybe we'll talk about, what if you have too many calls to action? What if you're just overwhelmed with life already? How can you even add in a call to action and then commit to acting? You've got too much to do. So I think that will be a fun thing to talk about. So thank you for listening, and I'll join you another time.